friends. Welcome into your Watchman on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Today, Dr. Larry Spargimino and James Collins discuss the current state of affairs in America in light of Scripture. And then James will look at the probability that the prophetic claims in the Bible are actually true. So let's get started. Let's join Larry and James right here on Watchman on the Wall.
In Matthew 24, at the beginning of his Olivet Discourse, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Jesus was saying that at the end of the age, there would be great deception. In an effort to keep you informed on the deception in the world, we want to take some time today for social commentary.
A Canadian pastor who kicked police out of his church after they tried to shut down a worship service during Holy Week said the actions of law enforcement bring back memories of communism under the Soviet Union. Pastor Arthur Pawlowski, who was born in Poland, lived under Soviet rule during part of his childhood, received much criticism from the media for his actions in forcefully ordering law enforcement officers, including a police officer and a public health officer, off of his church's property after they interrupted a Passover service at Street Church in Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
A video documenting his encounter with the local law enforcement went viral, receiving more than 3 million views. Throughout the video, Pastor Pawlowski is seen screaming at law enforcement officials to get out, he said. He also commanded that they don't come back without a warrant and called them Gestapo and Nazi psychopaths. About a minute after the video started, the authorities departed from the property.
Calgary Police Services released a statement suggesting their presence at the church was justified because of a concern that people in attendance were not adhering to the government's COVID-19 public health orders, which are in place to ensure everyone's safety. Pastor Pawlowski, who grew up in Poland when the country was under a communist dictatorship, appeared on Fox News Primetime to discuss the exchange. Host Mark Stein noted that Pawlowski grew up behind the Iron Curtain, adding, "What happened to you over Easter is exactly, I take it, why you didn't want to stay behind the Iron Curtain."
Pastor Pawlowski said, "I grew up under a communist dictatorship behind the Iron Curtain, under the brood of the Soviets, and I'm telling you, that's no fun at all. It was a disaster. Police officers could break into your house 5 in the morning. They could beat you up, torture you. They could arrest you for no matter what reason."
Pastor Pawlowski went on to say, "It was like a flashback when those police officers showed up at my church. Everything kind of came back to life from my childhood, and the only thing I could do is fend off the wolves as a shepherd, and I used my voice to get rid of them. They were illegally encroaching on our rights during the most holy days during the Passover celebration."
Pastor Pawlowski said, "I was a little bit shaken, but I did what every shepherd right now on the planet Earth should be doing, fend off the wolves. We as lions should never bow down before the hyenas, and that's what they are right now."
Pastor Pawlowski urged the residents of Canada, the United States, and other Western democracies to get them out of your properties, out of your businesses, out of your churches. He then urged viewers to open up, open the churches.
Pastor Pawlowski's actions reminds me of a verse in Isaiah. The Bible says in Isaiah 56:10, "His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber." The prophet Isaiah compares Israel's religious leaders to a watchman or a watchdog. But in Isaiah's time, the priests were not good watchdogs. Isaiah says that they were blind. What good is a watchdog that is blind? He can't see trouble coming. Isaiah says that they are all dumb dogs that cannot bark. That is the job of a watchdog. He is to bark to warn of trouble.
I, for one, am thankful for the example of Pastor Pawlowski, who wasn't afraid to bark when trouble came to his door. I believe that pastors should unite and start pushing this darkness away. We should come and take to the streets and say, "No more lockdowns, no more restrictions. We will not put up with this anymore. We are fighting back."
The Lord tells us that the very hairs of our head are numbered, as well as the days of our lives. God knows the day I will die and the day you will die. Has God numbered the days of the United States of America? The obvious answer is yes. He knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning.
Jesus said that we are to be salt and light. Salt delays putrefaction, but salt does not stop it. The clock is ticking. With the passing of every second, the appointed hour draws near. Thus, the question is not, are the days of America numbered, but rather, how are we going to live at this very moment, today, as the clock is ticking? Should we be getting God's smile, or should we be getting His frown? Should we be working with urgency, or should we coast downhill a little? Should we slouch toward Gomorrah and deny the intensity of the spiritual battle raging all around us?
In his book, Live Not by Lies, A Manual for Christian Dissidents, Rod Dreher tells of Kamila Bendova, who, though it has been 30 years since the fall of communist rule in Prague, Czechoslovakia, is not about to lessen her vigilance about threats to freedom. Dreher tells her that tens of millions of Americans have installed in their homes so-called smart speakers that monitor conversations for the sake of making domestic life more convenient. Bendova visibly shudders. The appalled look on her face telegraphs a clear message. How can Americans be so gullible?
To stay free to speak the truth, she says, you have to create for yourself a zone of privacy that is inviolate. She reminded Dreher that the secret police had bugged her apartment and that she and her family had to live with constant awareness that the government was listening to every sound they made. The idea that anybody would welcome into their home a commercial device that records conversations and transmits them to a third party is horrifying to her. No consumer convenience is worth that risk. People think they are safe because they haven't said anything controversial. That is very naive, says Kamala.
After the fall of the Berlin Wall and Germany's 1990 reunification, the German government opened the vast files of the Stasi, East Germany's secret police, to its victims. Historians have discovered that vast numbers of East German citizens, with no prompting by the government, volunteered negative information about their friends and neighbors. Across the country, people were on the lookout for divergent viewpoints, which were then branded as dangerous to the state. This practice gave the East German police state an unparalleled knowledge of the private lives of its citizens.
Should totalitarianism come to America, the police state would not have to establish a web of informants to keep tabs on all the private lives of the people. The system we have now already does this, and most Americans are hardly aware of its thorough... ubiquity.
While 2020 was an extremely difficult year with the coronavirus, one positive outcome to come from the increased strain and pandemic is that Bible reading and online sermon viewing increased through the pandemic. Bible sales increased during the COVID-19 pandemic, according to Lifeway Christian Resources, one of the world's largest providers of Christian books and educational material. Carol Pipes of Lifeway told CBN News that Bible sales have remained strong since the outbreak of the coronavirus in the U.S. in April and increased through June.
The company's CEO, Ben Mandrell, added that the increase in Bible sales is no accident, as people often go to the Bible as a source of hope in times of crisis and uncertainty. People draw hope from Scripture because they see a God who is with us during our suffering. The Bible, as God's words to us, is a reminder that He doesn't leave us to walk through difficult times alone, he said.
Fellow faith-based publisher Tyndale House Publishers said they also saw an increase in Bible sales amid the pandemic. This includes their Life Application Study Bible sales going up 44% and sales of the Immerse Bible going up 60%, according to Jim Jewell, an executive at Tyndale. Jewell said he believed concerns over the pandemic has upended almost everyone's lives in some way. It's not surprising that people turn to the comfort and clarity of the Bible in times of trouble and uncertainty, he said, and added that social media engagement for Tyndale was also growing. On our Facebook page for the New Living Translation, where we post Bible verse memes, engagement was triple what it was last March and up 72% from just last month.
In April, book sales data provider Nelson BookScan revealed that biblical and liturgical texts had been rapidly climbing the charts. The group said the increase in purchases was an unusual pattern in comparison to the same period in recent years. Nelson cited the closure of churches as a factor, adding that perhaps people are turning to Scripture for comfort in these abnormal and melancholy times, or perhaps people are curious as to whether the coronavirus is prophesied in Revelation.
David Jeremiah, a senior pastor of Shadow Mountain Community Church in El Cajon, California, and host of the radio program Turning Point, said that ever since the shutdown began, viewership of his online services has dramatically skyrocketed. The church is alive and well, and may be more responsive now than I can ever remember, except for the possible exception of 9/11, he said. What we've learned from all of this is God doesn't need a building for there to be a church. I'm preaching right now to more people than I have ever preached to in my life, he said, adding that a sermon he delivered, in which he addressed whether COVID-19 is mentioned in biblical prophecy, received over 1 million views on YouTube. We've never had anything on YouTube get that kind of traction. When everything in which we have trusted is taken away and we are left with ourselves, we have to ask the hard questions. If this is it, what happens to me now? There's a renewed interest in the gospel and a desire to know what the Bible has to say. Is this the beginning of a revival? This may not be a revival in the truest sense of the Great Awakening, but I believe we are seeing an online revival, said Jeremiah.
Based in Michigan, Bethany Christian Services is the largest Christian adoption agency in the United States, with operations in 32 states. They recently expanded their services to include, quote, Christians with diverse beliefs, close quotes, now placing children with LGBT couples for foster care and adoption.
Many evangelical and Christian leaders are disappointed in what is perceived as Bethany's capitulation to the government rather than traditional Christian beliefs.
Jim Daly, head of Focus on the Family, tweeted that Bethany Christian Services should not have to choose between holding to their deeply held religious convictions and serving children and families. No government should tell any ministry how to run their ministry, let alone violate deeply held biblical principles.
Daniel Aiken, president of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, wrote, "Children need a dad and a mom in a healthy biblical home. God's word is clear."
While America remains a highly religious nation with 7 in 10 claiming affiliation with some kind of organized religion, for the first time in nearly 80 years, fewer than half of them now say they have formal membership, according to a new Gallup analysis. In 1937, says Gallup, when they first measured formal membership of houses of worship, some 70% of Americans had formal church membership, and that measure remained steady for the next 60 years until it began a steady decline in 1998. In 2020, formal membership in houses of worship stood at 49%.
One of the biggest factors Gallup found strongly correlates with church membership is age. Some 66% of traditionalists, U.S. adults born before 1946, have formal membership in a church, compared with 58% of baby boomers, 50% of those in Generation X, and 36% of millennials. Current but limited data on members of Gen Zers who've already reached adulthood suggest their church membership rate is similar to millennials.
The analysis also pointed to the growing number of Americans who express no religious preference. In the last 20 years, the share of Americans who do not identify with any religion has grown from 8% in 2000 to 21% in the last 3 years.
While it is possible that part of the decline seen in 2020 was temporary and related to the coronavirus pandemic, Continued decline in future decades seems inevitable given the much lower levels of religiosity and church membership among younger versus older generation of adults, wrote Gallup senior editor Jeffrey M. Jones. Churches are only as strong as their membership and are dependent on their members for financial support and service to keep operating. Because it is unlikely that people who do not have a religious preference will become church members, the challenge for church leaders is to encourage those who do affiliate with a specific faith to become formal and active church members, he said.
Among religious groups, Catholics suffered the steepest decline over the periods measured, dropping from 76% to 58%. Protestants fell 9% from 73% to 64%. The data showed that declining church membership in the last two decades was greater among people who lived in the eastern United States and among Democrats.
Political conservatives, Republicans, married adults, and college graduates experienced lower declines and tended to have higher rates of church membership, along with Southern residents and non-Hispanic black adults, Gallup said.
In his analysis of the data, Ryan Burge, an assistant professor of political science at Eastern Illinois University and pastor of First Baptist Church of Mount Vernon, Illinois, showed that younger generations raised in the church were not typically returning to church when compared with members of the baby boomer generation born between 1945 and 1964. For anyone concerned with church growth, Burge says, this should sound an alarm.
Many pastors are standing at the pulpit on Sunday morning and seeing fewer and fewer of their former youth group members returning to the pews when they move into their late 20s and early 30s. No church should assume that this crucial part of the population is going to return to active membership as their parents once did, he explained. The data is speaking a clear message. The assumptions that undergirded church growth from two decades ago no longer apply. If churches are sitting back and just waiting for all their young people to flood back in as they move into their 30s, they are likely in for a rude awakening. Inaction now could be creating a church that does not have a strong future, he added.
While this falling away from the faith should not surprise anyone who has been paying attention to American culture, the numerical data does show that Christianity is on a significant downward slope in America.
As Christians, we should pray that God will send revival to America and that the nation will turn back to God.
James Collins will return in just a moment. First, I want to say thank you for spending part of your day with us. Thanks to your prayers and generous financial support, we are on over 260 radio stations across the country every day, proclaiming the truth that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. Our online presence allows us to broadcast all over the world, and the books, DVDs, and other resources we provide help to spread the truth to all corners. All of this is made possible because of your support. Would you please call or go online today and show your financial support? Call toll-free 1-800-652-1144 or visit swrc.com. Thank you for your support of Southwest Radio Ministry. James Collins returns now to show how the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob left a record of his actions for us to know and believe. It's time to explore the science of math revealing prophetic biblical truths. Here's James Collins.
The Bible is a book of prophecy. Anyone can make predictions, but having those predictions come true is vastly different. The more statements made about the future and the more detail, then the less likely the precise fulfillment will be. For example, what is the likelihood of a person predicting today the exact city in which the birth of a future leader would take place well into the 22nd century? Well, that is exactly what the prophet Micah did 700 years before the birth of the Messiah. Or what is the likelihood of predicting the manner of death of a new unknown religious leader 1,000 years from now? A manner of death that is presently unknown and will remain unknown for hundreds of years. Well, that is exactly what David did in 1000 BC. Or what is the likelihood of predicting the specific date of the appearance of some great future leader hundreds of years in advance? Well, that is exactly what Daniel did 530 years before Christ. What are the odds? Today, Pastor Larry and I are speaking about an incredible book written by Colonel Stephen M. Bauer called The Math of Christ. The Science of Math Reveals Bible Truths. And I believe after you hear about this book, you'll want to get your own copy. Welcome, Pastor Larry. Thanks so much for sitting in with me today.
Well, James, it's a privilege and an honor to work with you, and I know God's going to bless our ministry.
I want to talk for just a little bit about this book, The Math of Christ. I have heard the author say about writing this book that there are some people who are too smart to believe in Christianity. What do you think he meant by that, Pastor Larry?
Well, James, these are the people who prize human knowledge, but they don't realize that human knowledge is really limited. People have a limited perspective. They don't see the big picture. We're just on the ground. We're not like an eagle flying or soaring. We don't see everything. God sees everything. He knows the end from the beginning. Moreover, people have a sinful nature, and it has compromised their understanding. That's what the Bible calls the noetic effect of sin. In other words, we're not as smart as we think we are, and because of the noetic effect of sin on us, we think we're smarter than we really are.
Well, you know, Pastor Larry, I found this book to be enlightening. It's a great witnessing tool. It shows beyond a doubt that God's word is truth. The author put God's truth to the test in the way that he calculated the odds. He went through the Bible and he picked 40 prophecies about Jesus Christ that had been fulfilled. Then he discussed the odds that those prophecies were fulfilled by accident.
There are some great examples. The Messiah would be preceded by a messenger. Colonel Bauer mentions the prophecy of Isaiah about 749 B.C. and also Malachi between 450 and 400 B.C., where it says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." And then in Malachi, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." Now, of course, we know the prophecy was fulfilled about A.D. 27. These passages foreshadow the life of a true messenger, John the Baptist, who played an important role in preparing the groundwork for the ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus was born shortly after John the Baptist, about 2,000 years ago. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says this, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then if we go to Matthew 11, verses 10 and 11, that confirms the exalted position of John the Baptist here on earth. It says this, "For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he."
That's just one prophecy, Pastor Larry, one prophecy in the book. Colonel Bauer took 40 prophecies. Then he multiplied the odds of each of those events happening times the other events. And he came up with a combined probability of all these 40 events happening. And that is 1 times 10 to the 136th power. Now, that number is hard for me to comprehend, but that is a 1 with 136 zeros. That is quite a large number. And to help put that number into perspective, the author uses the following illustration. He worked with scientists who run the Hubble telescope, and he estimated that the observable universe, including all the planets, the moons, the stars, everything that has been observed by astronomers on the Earth, that contains approximately 1 times 10 to the 81st power of atoms. That's the atoms in the universe. 1 times 10 to the 81st power is a very, very large number, but the calculation of the number of atoms in the universe is considerably smaller than the odds of these 40 prophecies coming to pass. So the odds of these things being guessed at are beyond impossible. There had to be a divine hand controlling things. The author speaks about Borel's basic law of probability. What is Borel's basic law of probability? What is that all about?
Borel was born to a French Protestant minister. He lived from 1871 to 1956. He became one of the world's foremost experts on game theory and mathematical probability. He's credited with formulating what scientists and mathematicians alike refer to the basic law of probability. That's an important law. It states that the occurrence of any event in which the chances are beyond 10 to the 50th power, that's followed by 50 zeros, is an event that we can state with certainty will never happen, no matter how much time is allotted and no matter how many conceivable opportunities could exist for the event to take place. Now, what this tells us is that it is mathematically impossible for these 40 events to have happened by chance. Think about that for a moment. It is a simple but extraordinarily profound statement based on the extensive work of one of the world's most noted experts on mathematical probability. So I think, as Colonel Bauer points out, there is a God, and he's got everything worked out. He is in charge, and of course we know that from the Word of God.
In 1969, a mathematician named Dr. Peter Stoner calculated the probability that any one man could fulfill just 8 of the prophecies in the Bible about Jesus to be 1 chance in 10 to the 17th power, meaning a 1 with 17 zeros after it. To illustrate how unlikely a chance that would be, Stoner gave this illustration. Cover the entire state of Texas with silver dollars to a level of 2 feet deep. The total number of silver dollars needed would be 10 to the 17th power. Now choose just 1 silver dollar, mark it, and put it back. Then thoroughly stir all of those silver dollars all over the state. Now blindfold someone and tell them that they can travel wherever they want in Texas, but sometime, somewhere, they must stop and pick up one of the silver dollars. The chance of finding that 1 silver dollar that was marked in a pile 2 feet deep covering the state of Texas would be the chance that the prophets had for fulfilling these 8 prophecies coming true in any one man in the future. In the math of Christ, Colonel Bauer looks at 40 prophecies, not 8. So let me conclude with a reminder that 300 Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled in the life of Jesus Christ. God predicted in minute detail all the events from the life of Christ, and God has predicted in minute detail all the events about when Jesus will return for His church. So Jesus is coming again. You can count on it.
How fascinating to see God's prophetic truths proven true through science and math. Today, we're excited to offer this book, The Math of Christ by Stephen Bauer. The Math of Christ uses the fundamental tenets of science to prove conclusively that Jesus Christ fulfilled the prophecies about the coming Messiah for all people. Predictions written centuries before the birth of Christ describe how man can identify the only valid offer of salvation and eternal life for all mankind. This outstanding book can be yours for a gift of only $15 or more. We're also offering a Southwest classic, God's One-Liners by Jerry and Jody Tyson. This book offers devotions on the shortest verses in the Bible. This book can be yours as well for a gift of $15 or more, or get both The Math of Christ and God's One-Liners for only $25. Call 1-800-652-1144 to get your copies today, or go online to swrc.com. Join us tomorrow when James Collins begins a series on the 7 churches of Revelation. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com.